Cascadia and the edge of the world, Euphemet presents Night Drift with Jim Perry.
Good evening, I'm Jim Perry, and you're listening to Night Drift, presented by Euphemet. Broadcasting again from my home studio in the hinterlands of the Oregon coast, directly to our mothership, the studio of 1150 AM KKNW in Seattle and worldwide at nightdrift.com. And tonight, a really interesting and great show. Returning is paranormal investigator Bex Atwood with a new report on high strangeness in the Pacific Northwest and beyond. And listen, we're going to talk about UFOs and John Keel, and really, I think we're going to start to uncover the buried history of the modern UFO phenomenon, if I can be so bold. And it's with a strange incident that occurred right off the waters of Tacoma and very close to where most of Beck's and, you know, sort of current investigations reside. So that's tonight. And just before going on air, you know, I got a tip from a listener, Lonnie, who shared a possible UFO flap that is occurring in the Pacific Northwest right now. So as of a few days ago, on February 3rd in Burns, Oregon, that's in Harney County, I believe, which is in eastern Oregon, sort of a, not desolate, but parts of it are fairly remote in the high desert. Witness photos of 3 to 4 lit objects have been shared on social media. And even though I can't confirm yet whether these are truly anomalous objects or not, if these are, you know, proper, you know, UFOs, or if they are Starlink satellites, for example, which a lot of people are, you know, being challenged by in our night skies right now. Even though I have not been able to confirm whether these photos are, you know, sort of showing us that or not, what I did find within the comments of this person's social media is that a lot of people from that community saying, like, oh my gosh, yeah, I saw something too. I saw something the other night. I saw something. So whatever the case may be, there appears to be a flap going on, a legitimate UFO flap going on in eastern Oregon right now. So I'm very interested in finding out what's going on in Harney County, in Burns, Oregon, and parts in between. If you're listening to that, if you're listening to this right now on nightdrift.com, for example, or through, you know, the broadcast online stream at KKNW, call the show 888-298-5569 and let us know if you have seen something or if, you know, you are privy to what I'm talking about here. And of course, we released a new episode of Euphemet. Sorry there, Odie, I tricked you there with the phone number. We, of course, released a new episode of Euphemet a few days ago. We followed the story of a woman named Tanya who encountered a feeling she couldn't shake, ultimately one that saved her life. And I'm wondering how something like intuition, second sight, a premonition has affected your life. Have you been saved by a sign? We're opening lines in the second half of the program. We're opening lines right now. Join the conversation. Myself, paranormal investigator Bex Atwood, share your story. 425-373-5527 or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-KKNW. That's the open mind lines. Here on Night Drift with Jim Perry, right after this.
Show on social media at Euphemet, Euphemet. listening to Night Drift with Jim Perry on Alternative Talk 1150 AM KKNW Seattle. Now, here again is Jim.
Euphemet Season 5 continues with a new episode on Thursday, February 17th. You can find it wherever you listen to podcasts. You can hear this program on that very same feed. And real quick, I'd like to thank our sponsors, AMC Network, Shudder, and Better Health, and exclusive to our radio broadcast advertiser, Elaine of attherisingmoon.com. And of course, thanks to all of you who are listening now. Whether the live radio broadcast or you're listening to this later on the Euphemet podcast feed, and if you have become a patron over at patreon.com/euphemet, many, many thanks to you as well. Okay, let's get to the show. And our guest, she is a mycologist, witch, and paranormal investigator who lives on the Key Peninsula in Washington State. She is a part of Liminal Earth, the website devoted to remythologizing our modern lives by way of collecting experiencer stories on an open source map of the strange. Bex takes on residential cases of high strangeness and experiments with all sorts of methods of divination. We'll talk about that tonight for sure. And she routinely reports for this very program, Night Drift, from the Key Peninsula. Hey, Bex, welcome back.
Hello, Puget Sound and beyond. Jim, it's always a pleasure. So happy to be back.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us again. I am very much a fan of these, I don't know, say monthly reports that we're getting here from you, and I appreciate your time. And, you know, I started off the program with a little bit of a tease in terms of, you know, there's a lot of high strangeness going on right now within the Pacific Northwest. I would argue there's a lot of high strangeness going on that's being recognized worldwide. But in particular tonight, we're going to share some stories, some experiences and reports from here within the Pacific Northwest. And I think if we can start off, let's just jump right into it. You have a report about more disappearing places. What is happening with these?
I have no idea. I guess the more I look into it, the less I know. It's becoming its own trope within a trope, right?
Sure.
Oh, my goodness. But I do have to tell you that this report is actually from Texas.
Okay.
So my bad on there.
That's okay. That actually, you know, is more to my point that high strangeness at an elevated level is happening everywhere right now.
Yeah, it's just like those window areas, right? You have these really high concentrated pockets of strangeness that like our friends at Penny Royal are often talking about, and you're seeing it more and more. You know, especially someone who's helping run this map, you get these concentrated areas, and it's really interesting to see these reports just flood in from this one area. Mm. And then it's especially interesting when they kind of start to parallel like they do here on the Key Peninsula.
Yeah, very much so. So what happened down there in Texas?
All right. One day in 1989, it looks like Tamara is our submitter, so I will address them as such. One day in 1989, Tamara and their mother were driving down a country road when they saw a rustic shack with the sign saying open. We went inside and found it filled with intricate figurines in the shapes of elves and fairies. We looked around for the shopkeeper, but found no one at all, nor any sign of human habitation. We were so curious that we decided to come back when someone was in, but when we returned the next week, the building was not where we remembered it to be, and we were never able to find it again.
Oh my gosh. And so again, just another one of these situations where this building, this place, with all sorts of unique or individualistic characteristics that we remember, that is of note, is just no longer there and we can't find it.
Yeah, man, like, what do you do? What do you do? You know, you see these crazy figurines of like fairies and elves. So that to us is extra funny. Because of like, you know, these reported beings that live, especially in the Pacific Northwest. So it's almost funnier now that I'm like, oh crap, it's in Texas, but it's of like fairies and elves, which is
right.
Like huge phenomena, you know, around the Pacific Northwest. So, I mean, right. I'm kind of like in a go figure mentality right now. But what's so interesting is just, how many years it takes for these people to realize, like, oh, you know what? I went somewhere that didn't exist, and I think I'm going to find my share.
Right. Oh, my gosh. It's incredible. And as these reports continue to come in, you know, let's continue to track them. We're going to the phone lines right now with a caller who has a story, I guess, of their own disappearing place. We're going to go to the phones. Bram, how are you tonight?
Oh, hello. Can you hear me all right?
Hi there. Yeah, sure can. Thanks so much for giving us a call, my friend.
Oh, no problem at all.
Yeah.
What happened? Go ahead.
Yeah, please go ahead. What is your story you'd like to share about this?
Oh, no worries. So my name is Bram Murphy, and on September 27th of 2020, I went up to the art gallery in my parents' hometown to go pick up a two pieces of artwork that didn't sell, and that location's about an hour from where I live now. So I left at 2:45 a.m. and got there at 3 p.m., which isn't possible. It was a time slip.
What?
And the trip up didn't feel particularly unusual. There was a point where I stopped and got gas and bought peach rings. So the chronology doesn't add up. And I think if it were just me by myself, I would be a lot more skeptical. Like, oh, maybe I read the time on my car wrong, or my watch, except that the time was the same across all of my digital devices. And my spouse was with me, and that was reflected in all of their devices as well. And they experienced it with me, too. So that was weird in upon itself. So we get there, and we have an hour to kill. And we had gotten married in August earlier that year. And something I personally had really been wanting to do for a while was leave flowers from our wedding bouquet at the local cemetery where his grandparents and my best friend's brothers were buried. We had time, and I was like, oh, this is really strange, but it's an incredible opportunity. I have the dried flowers in the car. Let's go leave them. Yeah. So we got out of the car. We went into the cemetery. At this point, my spouse is very freaked out. But I went to, like, I've been to the cemetery many, many times growing up as a kid. Every Halloween, I'd go and visit my best friend's brother's plots there and leave them flowers and, like, unwrapped candy. So I should know where everything is. I can picture their plot in my mind's eye. I went and saw them. They were where they were supposed to be. But when we went to go see Joe and Marta, my spouse's grandparents, they weren't where they were supposed to be, which is strange because I know exactly where they are. As you enter the main gate, there's a plot that as you enter, it's on the left-hand side. And they're right there off the main path, but they weren't there. There was an oak tree there instead. So we wandered around, like being like, did I misremember? Like, what's going on? And eventually we found another headstone we recognized, and it's like, oh, it is my spouse's great aunt, which I thought was really cool. So we left her flowers and, like, spent some time kind of communing with her headstone. It was like, okay, cool. It's nice to meet you, not in person, but the closest I can to meeting in person.
Right.
And for a little more context, this great aunt is important. In general, she was a really important person to my spouse growing up as a kid, and my wedding ring was actually her ring, so I have a little bit of her history with me, too. So we did that, went and got the art, headed back home, and it was interesting. I just felt really cosmically messed with, because it's like, where'd Joe and Marta go? Come to find out, I relay this story to my mother-in-law, and she kind of gives me this look, and she's like, Aunt Alice isn't buried in that cemetery. She's located in Nevada. Like, she's in a different state. And it's like,
oh, my gosh.
Well, she was transposed, apparently.
Oh, my gosh. So what was your reaction when your mother-in-law told you that at that time?
I already felt cosmically messed with, so
yeah.
I just kind of accepted it as it is. I think I would consider myself a gentle skeptic, where I'm very much so aware of people's need for things like cognitive closure and like to overcome cognitive dissonance. So I kind of, the way I've kind of learned to approach the paranormal is, while I tend to be skeptical and to look at more rational explanations, what is, and even if something can be explained away, night terror still has terror in the name that's still real to the experiencer. So I was able to take it with some comfort, because I was like, well, even if it was somehow just in both of our heads, which it wasn't because the gallery was closed, but we you know, regardless of what the mechanics are, I saw it as a positive effect, because I had been planning to leave them flowers, and then somehow the cosmos obliged. And I was like, okay. My spouse, on the other hand, who's significantly more atheistic, was significantly more shaken. Driving home, he was red and in tears the entire time.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, it's shaking, right? And to come to grasp with these things that should not be, especially if you're not an active, I don't know, invitee, if you're not seeking to be a participant on any sort of bandwidth, and these things just occur, right? We think that these things are just purely participatory, or that they are a reaction to something that is happening. But when they happen to multiple people, when these things happen to folks that are outside of just their consensus reality together, it's jarring. It can be so jarring to folks, right?
Yeah, it's very jarring, and I think it is scary and humbling and sublime, because it's a reminder that while we can do what we can to influence our lives in our own little bubble, there's so many things that are so far beyond our control.
Yeah. Well said, Marta. Thank you so much for calling the show, and thank you so much for sharing your story. I think people get a lot out of that.
Well, thank you for having me. It's always a joy to listen to you, Femet, and I think it's helped me make more peace with some of the weird things that have come up in my life, for sure.
Well, it was so good to hear that. Thank you so much for being a listener and the kind words and your story, and we'll talk to you soon. Call again, all right?
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Have a great rest of your weekend. Bex,
you as well.
Bex, here we go again. Here's another example of just folks being jarred by things being here, then nowhere. What is your take on that story that we just heard?
So something that kept coming up for me was the idea of being forced to confront and something that's implausible. So think about the thought breakdowns that her spouse was probably having. So, you know, you have this very atheistic approach, which I have shared in my past, and then something so earth-shattering happens to you that you cannot explain. Someone else shares that with you. Someone later validates, oh, hey, you know, this is not as it seems. You are correct that this is weird. I think in this instance, what they are being approached with is the possibility that they may have traveled back in time to when Auntie's grave was still there before it was.
Ooh. Interesting.
That's where my mind kind of went, because I also thought of that oak tree that had to later be removed for spouse's family to be buried, right? And
wow.
So that's kind of where my head's at, a true time slip, if you will. And it's, those are real interesting to me, because they're kind of few and far between. They kind of overlap with just high strangeness, the disappearing places, whereas this, I think they might have been able to somehow travel back, and every single person who deals with that is going to handle that differently. And just being confronted with that notion that reality is not exactly what it is. You
right.
can have a perspective. Let's just throw that all away. And you can deal with it.
Right.
Have fun driving home.
Yeah. Right. I mean, what's so powerful about stories like that, and I think Marta's disposition, in which I think I really share, which is of an open-minded skeptic, right? I mean, I've experienced things I cannot explain, but I don't take everything as something that's anomalous that comes my way. And I also don't try to mythologize too much what my experiences are in a way that will, I don't know, sort of separate me from consensus reality too much either. So the idea that it, you know, these experiences, it doesn't, it almost doesn't matter if they are real or not, because what we get at the end is that emotional connection or reaction that if it were just meant to be in that way or if not, that's what it is. It's the personal relationship, right? I mean, yeah, her she took kind of like the mission statement of Euphemet right out of my mouth with how Marta described her relationship, their relationship to this situation. And so yeah, it's fascinating. And Bex, you know, you yourself is someone that skirts the line between consensus reality and whatever else could be in the beyond. And you have done a great job of furthering your investigations right there in the Puget Sound area. And one of the places that you have recently discovered and we'll talk about after we come back from the break is Vashon Island and Murray Island and all that that holds. These reports of disappearing places continue to stream in. Have you ever experienced this? Call 888-298-5569. We'll return with Bex right after this and talk all about disappearing places, UFOs, and maybe a foundational story point for the narrative of modern UFO. That's on Night Drift right after this.
Drifting deeper into the night, Jim Perry is taking your calls at 425-373-5527 or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-KKNW-5569. Cascades to the rest of the world. Lines are open. Call 425-373-5527 or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. That's 888-298-KKNW.
We are back here on Night Drift. And real quick, thank you to all of you that wish me happy birthday today online. I really appreciate that. It made my day. It's Mexican food after this. Kendra also made me this great cake from scratch, and we went for a little walk in the woods. I actually found a trail that looked like the set from Lord of the Rings. It was really great. I felt like under each moss and stone was a potential fairy village. It was that magical looking. The low winter sun was cutting through the forest. It was beautiful. And then I got to come home and do this show with you guys. So next week, Elaine Hathaway joins us in an exploration of tarot and divination. And in the coming weeks, we review UFO data trends with Cheryl Costa and so much more here on Night Drift. And if you want more of the program, you can find it on the Euphemet feed, wherever you listen to podcasts. For more information, visit euphemet.com and make sure to follow us across social media. That's at Euphemet. And if you're listening to this for the first time, that's spelled Euphomet. But you're not listening to this for the first time, are you? You've listened to all of these. Yeah, you sure have. And, you know, do you have a paranormal experience that has changed your life? If you have, you are like many other Euphemet listeners who share it with me at jim@euphemet.com. Let me know. And we're back here tonight with Bex Atwood on the high strangeness of the Pacific Northwest and beyond. We're also taking your calls. We had a brilliant call just in the last segment. You can call us at 888-298-KKNW. That's 5569. 888-298-5569. Bex, thank you so much for being back on Night Drift tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm sitting here when you're like, oh, you know, you've listened to Euphemet, right? You've listened to every single one. And I was like, I have. When did you interrupt so bad?
Well, I appreciate it. And, you know, listen, off script here, from the bottom of my heart, there are so many folks out there that will tell me that they've listened to every single episode, every single old episode in the Patreon feed, and will continue to go back and listen to more. And so to have built up, I think, a library in collaboration with so many others and with so many people who have shared their stories, I'm glad that we've been able to create a space where people can just be open-minded about this stuff without huge agendas, have a foot still firmly grasped within consensus reality while we explore and kind of get lost while having that one foot on the ground and the rest in the cosmos somewhere. So I so appreciate it. And listen, the work that you are doing with Liminal Earth right now is a testament to that, you know, very similar, if not same, mission statement to mythologize our lives and use the weird to inhibit kind of this new version of life, which is much more playful and intrigued and excited about the unknown and ready to engage with it. So one of the ways you're doing that is with WUFO. Can you, I've been following this, you know, on social media as you've been doing it for the last couple of weeks. Where did this come from? What is it? Tell us all about it.
Sure. I call it hashtag WUFO. We went through a couple acronyms and they were like taken by our podcast friends or were like, you know, a really strange hashtag we didn't want to be part of. So it was a bit of a process and I was just like, WUFO's fun to say. And, you know, it could have been WUFO or it could have been WNUFOW. So, you know, take your pick. So the hashtag is out and we encourage people every Wednesday to use it and when they're participating. But as far as what exactly Wednesday night UFO watch is, outside of what you can get from that loaded title, it was actually something that came about on Twitter. One of our really good friends who actually did astrology for Hellier, Meglin, was sharing something from the Mothman prophecies involving UFO phenomenon. And John Keel had hundreds of data entry points by way of UFO reports. And slowly over time, John Keel found that you are most likely to see a UFO at 10 p.m. your local time on a Wednesday night. And that's just through, you know, data patterns over time. And it's not anything guaranteed, you know, but we're kind of seeing it as an excuse to have some sort of midweek break.
Yeah,
and sure. And it's almost like an event that we can share together, but it's completely remote, you know, super safe. You can do it with your family, with your friends. You can bring your snacks and just, you know, set up your chairs. our big thing is getting people to just go outside, spend some time and look up. And to be able to have an open forum to share whatever they do experience, even if it's completely mundane or something out of this world, we want to hold space for that. So working with our friend here, we were like, okay, let's make this a Wednesday night thing. But let's make it 100% open, 100% free. anyone can participate. And all you have to do is like post about it, message us. We're slowly getting to the point where we're experimenting with like event pages. We have a Facebook one that I can share with you after.
Yeah.
But what's so interesting is every single week it evolves. So
really,
you know, we have punch cards now just because of some offhand comment by a friend. and those are ready and downloadable. I designed those. We had folks coming up to us saying, what if it's cloudy? So I looked up virtual sky feeds, night sky apps that show you all of the starlinks, by the way. So you'll never say, is that a starlink again? Because you can just check.
Yes. There you go.
And then if you are freezing your butt off and you want to go inside, we have guided meditations that you can do if you are feeling a little, you know, a little brave and want to maybe explore what's in the skies from your couch. So we're offering all of these things. And every time someone has a comment, question, or concern, it's evolving and it's growing, and more people are getting involved. We're creating UFO water, even. I ate a UFO pretzel last week. It's just things that are coming up.
Hold on a second.
I do it.
Okay.
Can you slide that by? Could
I? Yeah. Rewind. Okay. A UFO water. Okay. Firstly, and a UFO pretzel. Okay. What are you talking about here?
So we just started doing at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We do a live TikTok Estes Method session where I try to just reach out to whatever's above my house or whatever's above the Puget Sound. Whatever it may be. And Jeremy will moderate and people will come in from their 40 pages and be like, oh, I can ask an alien a question. All right. And the funny thing is we actually had some really interesting like tech fritzes, but the UFO pretzel itself came from that first Estes Method Live where something just came through and said UFO pretzels. And we were dying laughing. So we thought about one of John Tenney's occurrences he shared where someone made UFO pancakes.
Okay.
So that was like, okay, what if we infused water every Wednesday night with this UFO energy? And then we create food out of it to like this Estes that is guiding us to do. So pretzels and pancakes have been made on my end so far. TikToks are coming soon. And right before the show, I just made some UFO water. With some chamomile and things. So we're just doing it, man. We're doing it. And every week it's changing. This week's going to be pretty special though.
Yeah. Yeah. I heard.
Oh, you heard, did you?
Yeah.
You can take the lead on that one.
I got a tip.
This one's going to be special.
So for this, WUFO, for this WUFO Wednesday night UFO watch, I'll be joining you guys in person.
I'm so excited.
We'll be meeting up earlier that day, attending, I believe, a conversation or a chat about the Maury Island incident, which is, of course, I don't think we'll have time to explore this sort of breakthrough case here today in detail. But all is to say, we'll be attending a thing, an event for it. And then we'll be sticking around and I'll be participating with you folks on this Wednesday night UFO watch, whatever that means. I don't know if this includes UFO pizza, but I would not be opposed to that.
Do you think if we called like a local pizza joint, we're like, okay, we want pepperoni pizza, but we want the pepperonis to be shaped in UFO. Can you do it?
Yeah, I guess it would depend.
We could get
on what...
one free UFO pretzel return. Yeah.
It would depend on what neighborhood, you know, we probably have to call like the college neighborhood, right? Or maybe order it from, you know, Capitol Hill in Seattle. I think we could probably get some of that arranged. Or they'd just be like, you need to call someone else for this because this is crazy.
Well, I think it's a perfect opportunity to say, hey, pizza people out there, if you want to put a UFO on it, send it to us.
Right.
We'll be in the area.
You'll get that liminal earth bump.
You'll get a bunch of zines and UFO water.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay. So I understand this concept that it has evolved over time from just watching to now potentially engaging. And from what I'm feeling from this is that, unlike maybe other unknown, unnamed, well, let's just call them rackets out there that maybe have a stranglehold on insisting people pay them money to participate in activities in which you may learn techniques to contact extraterrestrials or whatever is up there. Unlike this, you folks seem like you're kind of on the path of democratizing contact. Is that what's happening here?
Yeah, this is not your 100% money back guarantee like evening. This is a bring your chairs, you know, bring your food. You know, you can gather if you feel safe, or you can do this completely isolated if you feel safe. This is very accommodating. And the whole purpose is just to get a whole lot of people doing something similar at the same time, and then just seeing what happens. And even folks just getting out there, hanging out in their backyard for 30 minutes to an hour, it just makes the week better. So yeah, all, right. You know, esoteric, paranormal things aside, we're encouraging people to spend some time together, whether it's over the internet or whatever, share an activity and just exchange the things that may ensue from that.
Right. Well, I'm glad you explained it in that way, because I think there are individuals that may listen to this that go, oh my gosh, that sounds dangerous. You know, or from the perspective of those individuals that have maybe had not so pleasant contact experiences in their world. Right. And so I would assume that there are others that maybe have a little bit of a pushback to this idea. Have you experienced any of that, either publicly or privately? And what are the ways that you're explaining to them about how your intent may differ from what they feel the danger is in this?
Sure. So we've been lucky enough to, this is going to be week 4, and we have only received, you know, the best of feedback. We're more than welcome to it, as long as, you know, we remain respectful. I'm happy to discuss any comments, questions, or concerns. I think the way that we see it, because we talked about this, you know, behind the scenes, right. Because we just want to be extra mindful, not only that everyone's included, but that everyone's safe and that everyone's comfortable, you know, with what's going on. And so for me personally, I'm putting myself out there when I'm doing the Estes method, but I'm not saying, hey, you know, in order to have a successful Wednesday evening, you need to do this too. We're saying you can do as little as sit outside and look at the stars. We even have like astrology night sky side quests that Madeline gives us. So,
wow, that's so
you
cool.
Could do as little as, oh, here's Jupiter today. Here's your side quest is to find Jupiter in the sky. And then you can go back inside and that's fine. But
oh,
if you
so
are
great.
More in the paranormal community, or if you're in the weirdo community, we are, then we start to explore these more complex topics, these more controversial topics. And I think for me, it's I use personal protection by means of like rocks, protective oils. I do a little bit of like energy bubble beforehand. I actually did it on the last live so that people could see like my grounding process and see like, I'm not just going to jump into this. I don't take this lightly, but at the same time, I'm having fun with it. And as soon as it becomes not fun, I'm not doing it anymore. And there's moments when, you know, it's become really real. We're like, okay, this may actually be something. But I'm an investigator and I am here to experience things. So I'm happy to do it. But my advice for people is do as much or as little as you feel comfortable with. And, just know that I'm being responsible as well, and I will not put myself in a position that is unsafe. When it comes to a lot of this phenomenon, we're trying to even connect whether or not aliens and fae are the same type of beings. So we're not even looking at this as like, oh, this is a UAP and it's this type of species alien that we're trying to contact. It's like, we literally, it could be a bird. I don't care.
Right. Well, I mean, speaking from my experience and to interject here, you know, this really does, to me, appear to be in sort of an online interactive version of any Skywatch that you may go to in terms of rule of engagement. If you're interested in going on a Skywatch, this is a way that you can do it, you know, if you're alone or with your friends, with a broader sense of community and a broader set of community, so that if you have questions, if you have comments, there are other people there with you albeit maybe online, maybe digitally. But I will tell you that what you are avoiding, in which I really like about this concept, is you're avoiding the particular dogma that seems to infect the sort of the UFO cultists that do exist. I'm sorry, I'm like going to be a little controversial here, but there are scenarios that people find themselves going into communities to skywatch and then feeling very other very quickly because they go, oh, these people all have like an agenda. They all have like the same idea. What is a Palladian? I don't know what's going on here.
Right. Oh, good Lord.
And that's very, that can feel very scary it can make you feel like the alien very quickly. And I'm not certain if that is 100% sort of non-intentional in those spaces, if that makes sense.
Sure. Well, I don't want to be too crass, but sometimes the intention is important as like what that yields. And so I feel like for a lot of folks in the paranormal community, especially, we've encountered that where you try to join this group. And you see it a lot, unfortunately, with extreme politics and things now. It's intertwining with the paranormal community. And it's really hard sometimes to be like, oh, I've looked up to this person for years, and then they come out saying these awful things that I can't get behind.
Right.
And you're forced to part ways a lot in this community. But that's why I absolutely love what we're doing, because we are as open as possible. We do not have any sort of agenda other than trying to get this community of people together to just look at the sky. And we're not selling anything. We don't have any specific ideas even. We're just saying any aerial entity, you know, and whatever may come.
You're talking about the scientific method at the same time. You know, you're open-mindedly, you know, gathering data to collect and then analyze and see if some assumptions or ideas can be proved or disproved. Not that is being your main cause for approving or disapproving things. But at the end of the day, what you're talking about is a system in which you are eliminating a lot of dogma, a lot of superstition, and trying to embrace something which could be more positive in intention and not dark and scary, even though this is a phenomenon that can carry that with it, according to people who have had experiences. Yet, listen, at the end of the day, when we're talking about our relationship to the phenomenon or whatever this is, to high strangeness, we can't say that our intention doesn't appear to have an effect on whatever that interaction is, right?
Right.
Is that what you're finding? Is that you're finding your situations becoming progressively more positive in interactions with whatever that other thing could be?
I mean, it's been so neutral. I mean, it's an interesting topic to get into because, like, believe it or not, I haven't had all positive paranormal experiences. I think that's really interesting. Even people say, well, you must have just never had anything bad happen to you. I have. Yeah, and it's awful. Yeah,
we know that's not true.
But then I don't let it completely stain that whole chapter of my life either. Like, right. I don't let it completely change my view of the phenomenon. And I often, if this is just a me thing that it is, but I often look internally in those instances and we're finding that with hauntings, it may be us pulling the strings more than we think, without getting way too controversial.
Right.
We're finding that we can haunt things, you guys, with our minds and like just putting intention into an inanimate object. There's been some pretty impressive stuff over at Kindred Spirit, over at the Pear Museum. A lot of people are finding out that we have a lot more to do with this phenomenon than we're letting on. I don't think we're just innocent bystanders here.
I don't think so either. I think it's participatory. I think it's possible that intention plays into this. I do think that people are subject to surprise interactions and whether they be sort of malicious or not. Listen, even with your own story, Bex, this is definitely a rabbit hole to go down a different show. But think about your story and the things that you have experienced that have been negative. Those have not directly been things that you've put into the universe, but have been benefactors of other people putting that stuff into the universe and you having to deal with it, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, even to your story, I mean, I think that, like, what the moves you're taking to present this material in a particular way. And it's so interesting, segue, it's so interesting that we go into this space right now in the time we are living, right? That we have strayed from you telling me about spooky stories, and we are now talking about sort of the theory of everything, for one, and also some of the ethics behind what these could be. And I know that's one of the things that's really important to Liminal Earth. Listen, again, this is not a political show, right? I'm not presenting anything as an advocate or activist, but I'm just trying to be honest that exploring ethics within the paranormal is very needed. And I believe a lot of folks are starting to come to this conclusion. And if we're privy to Twitter, as many of us are, or the online community, some of the things that are being generated per content is not exactly something that aligns with a lot of our ethical beliefs within whatever this space is, right?
Right. Yeah, it really bums me out. It really bums me out because, you know, you get on this phone and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, this community is being created. This is so exciting. And then every once in a while, you know, you go through and you're like, for today, for instance, I was watching an old paranormal show that I absolutely loved as a teenager. And I was having it on today while I was cleaning. And I'll tell you what, I did not like the vibes. It was... There were heavy, it was back in like the early 2000s where everything was Catholic in oh, sure. paranormal community. No yeah. shame to that, but it's like everything, no right. other perspectives. One show had like an occult specialist, but we never got details on what exactly that was.
Yeah.
But it's all very cut and dry. It's all very, seems like exclusionary to a perspective.
Right.
A good friend of mine, Katie Webb, she has excellent interviews talking about the ethics, and she really goes into it.
I'll have to have Katie back on. We've done a feature together, and we're friends, and I would love to get Katie back on. Katie, maybe you're even listening to this. If so, let's touch base and let's have you on. Bex, we've got to end the show. We didn't get to Vashon Mori Island. We didn't get to asking you if there's been any recent dogmen reports. But next time we will also, I think, probably be talking about Mount Adams and what that place means.
We will.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for coming back on Night Drift. And before we go, explain to us where people can, you know, find, you know, a place to join for WUFO, for Wednesday Night UFO Watch this week, and where people can find more of your work in Liminal Earth.
Great. So every single Wednesday, I make a 100% open, free access post on Patreon. You can find us at Liminal Earth Society. Every week, I talk about what happened the previous week. I'll even include TikToks. If you're a Patreon, you get full, uncut live archives. And you'll be able to just see how things are evolving on our end. We also share on Twitter at Liminal Earth. We are on Instagram at Liminal.Earth, TikTok at Liminal Earth. We're mainly active on those channels. So feel free to use the hashtag across all boards, WUFO. Remember, it's every Wednesday at 10 p.m. your local time. So for our late night East Coasters out there, you don't got to stay up until 10 our time. You know, you can do it at 10 p.m. local time. That's what the phenomenon is reading, according to John Keel. Thank you so much for having me. As far as an event page is concerned, we are working on it. We have a Facebook event page right now. We can include it in the show notes, but it is under our Liminal Earth Society page as well. Might check out Eventbrite or something like that. Might take recommendations on those, but...
Perfect.
Looking into just making this grow every week in any way that someone wants to participate.
Well, fantastic.
Have faith.
Well, thank you so much for joining us again, Bex. I will see you on Wednesday, and I will see you, listener, on Wednesday. for Wednesday Night UFO Watch. And we'll be back with another Night Drift next week, and then a new Euphemet. So thank you so much for listening to another edition of Night Drift. I'm Jim Perry. Keep looking up.
Follow Night Drift with Jim Perry on Spotify and subscribe on Apple Podcasts to receive new episodes of Night Drift automatically and gain access to all of our past episodes.